Good morning, people of Seattle, people of the planetoid called Earth. Good morning to the friendly listener interested in the story of Colby Jack. This is the next installment in the story of Colby Jack. Colby Jack number two. Title, Backstory, Four Stories Down, 2020 to 2034. People thought 2020 was a drag, then came 2021. People said, shit, 2021 is fucked into A. And then inevitably came 2022. 2023, 2025, 2028, that's when slurry prices went down. Get all the warm protein slurry you want to in 2028. Your whole family gets to eat slurry. 2030 and eventually 2034. By 2034, shit is fucked up everywhere. By 2034, by the year 2034, shit is fucked up every fucking place you can imagine. Most of the cities have decayed to the point where police are mostly Rambler bots, little artificially intelligent robots, little bouncing balls of love with low IQ, and the ability to check your credit score. Flimsy little bots armed with poorly manufactured tasers. Those damn little bots would shock you if you had a low credit score. Then again, the credit score was really just a nod to a now dead thing. A dying empire of trashy financial instruments, rigged markets, and buttfucker unicycle bond floaters when Goldman issued their moon bond in December of 2021. Yes, when Goldman Sachs issued the moon bond in December of 2021, people began to see the end was not near. The end was written on a sign 500 miles behind them. And they were out of gas. Some cops still patrolled in places like Seattle. Mainly they drove MRAPs and armored vehicles and armored up Hummers sometimes, armed with cannon and missile. Armed with 50 caliber machine guns sometimes, if you need that too, really. When you're worried about the riffraff, right? The cops that were left worked for the Poles. That's spelled P-O-L-S, the Poles. One of several gangs that now control the United States. Who are these gangs? Well, let's talk about the Wranglers first. I'm gonna get some water, though. The Wranglers in 2034 are an amalgamation of the West Coast Biker Posse, which was really just all the then-known biker gangs in a kind of federation of bikers being led by Hell's Angels, and Texas range hands, cowboys, ex-slaughterhouse workers. They joined the Wranglers too. They were a roving gang of hunter-gatherers, migratory like birds of prey. The Wranglers considered the old highway systems their territory, and they actually worked to maintain them, using proceeds from land piracy, large-scale jobs, raids on old government arms caches. Then there were the farmhands. Then there were the farmhands. Then there were the farmhands. The farmhands were formed from disenfranchised homeless and angry farmers. The farmhands controlled just about all the food being produced. If you wanted to eat in 2034, you negotiated with Lisa Marie Hargrove, queen of the farmhand posse, and three-time winner of the Nashville Country Music Awards for Best Female Solo Artist. Lisa Marie Hargrove. The Poles, yeah. The Poles, they formed from what was left of the U.S. federal government, local and state governments. Pretty much all the government collapsed into a gang called the Poles, P-O-L-S. Following the great dollar collapse of the year 2022, yes, that's when it finally dies, folks. That's right. The Poles, formed from what was left of the federal government, local and state governments after the dollar collapse of the year 2022, the Poles were mostly drifter scum, ex-feds, bureaucratic con artists, former senators, Republican and Democrat, and the U.S. military industrial complex, Federal Reserve banker freaks. They formed a gang. Their goal: restoration. Yes, indeed, they wanted to restore the governments, plural, of the United States of America. Yeah. They formed a gang, their goal, the restoration. Problem was, nobody actually wanted the government back, except for them. The Poles had about 2 million people, plus or minus, in their gang, the refugees, the wives and children, what was left of the donut around Washington, D.C., and all the governments of the coastal cities. Basically formed a gang, the Poles, with loosely connected networks of bunker systems. Bunkers underground, living like mole people. Poles live like mole people, son of a bitch, son of a bitch. That's right, the fucking Poles. Indeed. The farmhand posse had 32 million members nationwide. The Poles treated restoration like a religious epic or some such shit. It was their end times. No one wanted it. There was nothing left to restore. Other gangs existed too, and many street folk, like Colby Jack, preferred the gang called Unaffiliated. That's right. Good old Colby Jack didn't like to be members of any fucking gang. He'd done that before. He served in the military. He was a member of a gang once. He never wanted to repeat that fucking experience. Colby's mind was filled with a lot of thoughts about the past, about the future. Colby had just got done meeting with his woman, black market weapons supplier, Chesley Rash. He didn't often call her his woman, but he knew she was. Chesley didn't often say, "That's my man, Colby Jack," but she knew he was hers. She was his. Colby walked out into the blazing heat. Seattle wasn't what it used to be. Today's high temperature, 122 degrees Fahrenheit. Colby heard chirping from someone's smart tablet. He hated when people listened to their shit out loud on the street. It was the voice of Carly Leone, the local weather girl and exotic dancer. She'd do her normal weather report, and then every Monday, Wednesday, and Saturday night after 10 p.m., she did a special report on stage at Raoul's off Bourne Avenue. Colby didn't care about the heat. He usually wore a light cotton weave Hawaiian shirt, some old blue jeans, and combat boots he had left over from the army. Stuff he held on to but didn't like talking about. And his pistol, his obvious big gigantic pistol, 12-gauge fucking 5-shot pistol, strapped to his right hip. Colby carried a lot of regrets along with ammo. Colby was thinking about the past, about the world before the adjustment, quote-unquote, the adjustment, the great adjustment. Thinking about the adjustment and the great revelation and the summer that never ended. President Kamala Harris, prior to being shot in 2022, called it the adjustment, labeled it that at Biden's funeral in April 2021. She said we had to, and I quote, adjust to new circumstances. We had to adjust to new circumstances. She was giving an adjustment speech, quote unquote, in Houston, Texas in April 2022, when a young man, probably schizoid, came at her with a Glock 19 and a 30-round magazine. He adjusted her using lead. Someone should have told her. POTUS has bad luck in Texas. Weeks after President Harris was shot, then there was Happy Friday, May the 13th, 2022, the day a mob of New Zealanders stormed Bill Gates' safe zone compound, drug him from his home, and tore him to pieces. Literally, 5,000 New Zealanders got their piece of flesh. A piece, really just little chunks. Not enough of Bill to go around for 5,000 people to tear apart. Really not a lot. 5,000 people, one Bill Gates. You'll be lucky to get a little scrumpling to feed your cat. But I'm sure some people got some scrumplings. Why did a bunch of hungry and insane New Zealanders drag Bill Gates from his home and murder him? Simple. In 2022, WikiLeaks released the COVID dump, and it told the truth of the bioweapon, the project to install a new world order government, and for Bill Gates to have some high Mandarin position in the new global system, blah, blah, blah. But there was more, so much more. Bill Gates conspired with Israel and China to destabilize the Arctic Sea. The plan? To trigger a massive methane release, to trigger what is sometimes called the clathrate gun. COVID didn't work, so the cabal led by Gates pivoted back to climate change, and they needed something big to quote a decrypted email sent from Bill Gates. They developed a compound that affected ice formation, that made ice formation nearly impossible. That's right, a magic compound that made ice formation nearly impossible, leading to what is sometimes referred to as the Blue Ocean Event. An important thing to keep in mind is that the Arctic serves as a kind of air conditioner. It does help maintain the Earth's temperature at a certain nice range of values for people in the Northern Hemisphere. A Blue Ocean Event basically changes it from an air conditioner to a heater. And that would be caused by the clathrate gun. Again, do your own research. It's not because of cheeseburgers. If it's a thing, it's not because of a fucking car. It's a little bit bigger than that. COVID didn't work. So they needed something even scarier to scare the fuck out of people. To scare them into their arms like little children. So they developed a compound that made the formation of ice in the Arctic Sea pretty much impossible, triggering a Blue Ocean Event, triggering the clathrate gun. They sprayed this material all over the Arctic in 2021. That was considered the year that summer never ended. There was not really a winter for 5 years in a row. One massive release of methane after another, one giant fart, as they were called, after another, a positive feedback. One, that if you were afraid the Earth was a simple, fragile thing, you might believe we were done for, it was over, but no. No, it wouldn't destroy the world. It just led to some fairly terrible fucking times. The year that summer never ended. Famine, drought, lack of fresh water, clean water to drink, sanitation broke down, and then came the bad stuff. Several boiling water and pressurized water reactors began melting down all up and down the East Coast because of, well, heat exchange. You know, it turns out that you need to exchange hot water in the reactor with cold water in terms of temperature transference, not the actual water, but use the cold water to cool down the hot water. But what if there's no cool water? What if the cold water is already nearly 100 degrees? That the efficiency of heat exchange goes down immensely. Yeah. The Earth experienced a mini Venus syndrome, and we lost 7 reactors on the East Coast. Millions died of radiation poisoning. up and down the East Coast, many millions more died of cancer, and the rest slowly died of starvation. And that's what it was, mini Venus syndrome. We're still around, not dead yet. The temps are going back down again. The worst was 2021 to 2026. Really bad. By 2033, last year, we actually had a little winter in Seattle. We even had real snow. 2033. Colby was hoping they might have snow for Christmas this year. Perhaps even some real turkey. Real turkey and gravy. Colby ate slurry most days. Because of food shortages, people that got to eat ate a kind of organic slurry. It was a composite of fats and greases, proteins, vitamins, a complete meal in terms of basic nutrition. It tasted like shit, it looked like shit. I mean, literally tasted like shit and looked like shit, but it was food. But if you had some extra gold or crypto or silver or diamonds, you could still buy some real food, meat, vegetables, even apples. Fucking apples, man. Colby Jack got laid 7 times in 2032. That's right, he scored 7 times. He had sex with women 7 times in 2032 because he had a source of apples. As of 2034, nearly 4 billion people have died as a result of the quote-unquote adjustment. When people found out about all this, when they found out the whole truth, they went insane. Even the media could not hold them back, and the mainstream media itself started falling apart, melting down. Journalists, TV journalists, anchor people went crazy live on TV. Howard Beale from that famous movie Network had nothing on the fucking crazy antics that occurred at that time. They called that the time of revelation, 2022. The UN voted to arrest Bill Gates on crimes against humanity. The Hague Court had a warrant for his arrest issued to Interpol. So Gates being torn apart in New Zealand? Damn, that's just justice working things out, is what Colby thought. Reality catches up with all. Reality catches up with all. Colby read that once on a bathroom stall door. He was remembering it now, thinking about the past, thinking about Jitler. Jitler. The Hitler who starts with a J. Indeed, folks, indeed, Jitler. Yo, Colby, what you doing? Asked Miss Patrice, the retired hairstylist. Heading to work. What kind of job you have? The kind I don't talk about. Miss Patrice seemed upset, so Colby stopped for a bit. What's up? Colby asked. You know that tentacle thing? At that moment, a Rambler bot came rolling up the street. Patrice had been shocked twice that day already, fuck. Colby had skewer rounds in his pistol, tungsten sabo rounds. High velocity, he fired 2 into the Rambler. And then some tentacles came from below, popping open the manhole cover and taking the broken Rambler down beneath. Back to the sewers to God knows what. You got that ancient residue, Jack. Patrice liked to flirt with Colby. She was 87 years old. Miss Patrice reminded Colby of a bar matron he knew in South Korea, Osan. Ran the Boogie Shop Snake House. You drink the snake shot, you get the t-shirt. That old Korean woman, she must have been 90 years old, but she'd scream, drink motherfucker, drink motherfucker, drink. And it was a call to arms. Baby, I have the greases of the ancient Egypt rolling through me, Colby responded. Those damn roller bowlers have been telling me all week. You think the Poles are going to make another push? Patrice was happy Colby took out the little stupid electroshock credit score robot. She was less sanguine about the tentacle creature that pulled it down. There was a rumor that the mayor of Seattle was going to lead an attack from Mercer Island to Seattle downtown, to restore control, quote-unquote. Nobody wanted this, but no one was really that afraid. What did they want back, people would say, as they looked at the decaying city. Fucker deserved it, Colby said with a smile. You know that tentacle thing? What you doing about it? Me? Yeah, you Colby Jack. Colby smiled. He looked off down the street, down Rainier Avenue, where it snakes its way through the heart of a putrefying metropolis. What can I do, Patrice? You could take that hand cannon, go down in that sewer, and kill that motherfucking thing. I don't know, hun. I think the Poles got killed going down there a few weeks ago. By 2034, what was left of the government were the Poles, one of the biggest gangs in the USA, but still too small to do much. The Poles were made up of those holdouts and true believers in voting, government crap, printing worthless money, and imposing unenforceable taxes and laws. The Poles hung on, barely, because of the one thing they had to trade: guns, ammo, weapons. Even in 2034, the Poles had pretty good shit to sell. They still controlled a number of major weapons conglomerates. And their engineers were all too happy to keep up production. It was how they stayed alive. Every few weeks in every major city, they would hold bake sales, quote unquote. These were rapidly implemented open-air bazaars. Their arms bazaars got raided a lot, and so they had to be careful about bake sales. And who would raid them? Mainly the Wranglers. Mainly Hell's Angels. Hell's Angels controlled most of the arms sales up and down the West Coast, especially in California, what was left of it. They didn't like competition. The long, hot summer of Revelation, 2022. It began with the preternatural slaying of Bill Gates and ended with the Great Nurse and Doctor Massacre, August the 25th, 2022, Red Thursday. One of the revelations was that the director of Los Angeles Community Hospital, working in cahoots with several nurses and doctors and their staff, conspired to fake COVID-19 data. Doctored results for positive tests deliberately blocked patients' access to make it look like there was a quote-unquote crisis. And then there's the story of Tony Glunkett. Tony Glunkett was a sports announcer and radio personality in the LA area. He rarely discussed politics, and when he did discuss the issues, he would say, "I'm not affiliated." His friends suspected he was a libertarian or something, but it didn't matter. He was white, straight, and did not meet the criteria for admittance defined by the community hospital's nurse, Dr. Cabal. They coded him as M for morgue on arrival. On July the 4th, 2022, in the midst of the worst heat wave in world history. Yeah, I'm going to back up a bit on that one. On July the 4th, 2022, in the midst of one of the worst heat waves in world history, Tony was drinking beers with friends, eating too much, and he felt chest pains. He looked uncomfortable. A friend of his, an ex-Navy medic, did a quick assessment and then loaded him into his car to drive to the nearest hospital, Community Hospital of Los Angeles. At the emergency room, Tony was transferred to a gurney and taken to an observation room. His friend drove back to the party to give the others still there an update on Tony's condition, his situation. Tony was single, 50 years old, no kids. He spent 12 excruciating hours in the observation room before he died, alone. No one was allowed in to see him. No doctor checked on him. The real coroner's report, that was part of the anonymous hacker dump in late July 2022, the real coroner's report said Tony likely suffered 5 excruciating painful heart attacks before dying a half a day on. Along with all the other damning evidence, there is an audio recording of the chief of emergency medicine, Dr. Sarah Greenberg, laughing about Tony, thinking it was funny that old white man was dying. When the real story of Tony was released, the audio of Dr. Greenberg, LA, which was already a powder keg, exploded. No fake Black Lives Matters protesters gone crazy exploded, not something silly and bullshit like that. People eventually figured out Black Lives Matter, those AstroTurf commies, no, not that. Nah, when these protests, riots, mobs hit, you could tell. The cops, the army, started using concertina wire. No rubber cones, no shitty ass chain link fence, but actual fucking razor wire. When drivers saw this going up along Hollywood Boulevard, they knew it wasn't Black Lives Matter. They knew the maelstrom that was coming was real. The first armed vengeance mobs were called Glunkett gangs, named after Tony Glunkett. All this done in honor of Tony, beloved radio personality that pretty much everybody liked. He was a well-loved person. This was not a good person to kill. They shouldn't have killed this guy. And when I say they, I mean the conspirators of the COVID. They shouldn't have murdered this guy. They did, so not a good target, not a good person to kill. They made their first attack on Director Shambliss' residence in Ventura, California. They surrounded her well-constructed postmodernist West Coast rambler. A local construction guy got control of a cherry picker and dumped buckets of gasoline on the Shambliss home. She was the only one there, thankfully. The rest of her family had fled to Canada already. By August the 15th, 2022, the power had been out all over California for about 2 weeks. Los Angeles. Los Angeles. By mid-August, LA was mostly controlled by Glunket gangs, Crips and Bloods, and Hell's Angels. Nurses and doctors were being hunted for sport. Nurses and doctors were being hunted for sport. They were put on trial at the LA Zoo. Actual kangaroos officiated. Actual kangaroo courts. That's right, actual kangaroos were used to hold court, to hold trials against the nurses and the doctors, the liars, the cheats, the murderers, because people did die. No one knew how many people died of the COVID, but people knew people died of suicide as a result of the lockdown. They knew people had heart attacks and cancers that weren't being properly treated because of the lockdown, that people were being driven in a state of fear, and their lives are being wrecked. And then there's Bill Gates' giant fart procedure because of the fucking lies. They sought after whatever people they could find. New Zealand, they were lucky. They had Bill Gates. Most of the Poles, P-O-L-S, they hid out in bunkers for a reason, people. By mid-August, L.A. was mostly controlled by Glunket gangs and Crips and Bloods and Hell's Angels. Yes, the nurses and doctors were running in fear. There were also thug armies composed of hookers, pimps, and public school teachers. That's right, hookers, pimps, and public school teachers. They were armed with lead pipes and bags of rocks, knives, and some shotguns. LA public school teachers are mostly meth heads by 2022. Genghis street freaks. To be used as cannon fodder by the hookers and the pimps. On August the 25th, 2020, excuse me, on August the 25th, 2022, I need to make a quick correction because my fucking typos suck big time, I believe, in the conspiracy of typos. On August the 25th, 2022, Community Hospital was under siege. There were no patients there. There were no patients there, just doctors, nurses, not all of them guilty of crimes, like the ones committed against poor Tony Glunket, but all of them, most of them, committed to the COVID-19 lie, like some cruel reverso Stockholm syndrome. That's right, cruel reverso Stockholm syndrome. Once the Glunket crews broke in, it was all over. The pimps and hookers and LA public school meth head teachers went for every nurse, every doctor they could find. By 2022, food was already desperately scarce. So wood chippers were being fed the healthcare heroes and the slurry, the bloody mess, well, it went to feed pigs in Chinatown. That's right. The healthcare heroes went in the wood chipper. The slurry that came out, well, that was fed to pigs. On August the 25th, 2022, 134 doctors, nurses, and other administrative personnel were killed on site at Los Angeles Community Hospital, and their remains were shipped to Chinatown to feed the pigs to keep the pork fried rice coming. Colby, I'm serious. I saw someone's cat get taken down there. Patrice pointed at the grate near her property, and it did appear to have holes big enough for tentacles and small cats. You know old Turk went down there a few weeks back? Yeah, that old drunk. I don't know about that, but I saw his left arm when he came back, covered in some kind of gumbus, some kind of growing mucus, like a mold infestation. He said the ER docs had to remove flesh to get rid of it. Real messed up. You're not a fool. What's that supposed to mean? You see that monster? You blow it away. Don't shake hands with it. Patrice laughed. Colby's jagged frown became a sideways smile. They say it's Pacific great octopus adapting, changing. Octopus in the sewers, Colby? That's what they say. Colby had a long day ahead. He needed to make a few bucks and gather more info on Jitler. See you later, Patrice. Please do something about that sewer monster, Colby. Okay, Patrice. Colby Jack wasn't thinking about the slimy poop monster down below. Colby Jack wasn't thinking about the world that crashed around him. He was thinking about Jitler. Jitler, Hitler spelled with a J, Jitler, his old nemesis, his old friend. Jitler, gone for so long, he drifted through the adjustment. 4 billion dead, 2 decades, Jitler survived it all to make it back home to Little Saigon, Seattle. Shit, that'd make him 46 years old, Colby muttered to himself as he walked down that hot and stinky Seattle sidewalk. Fuck, Colby thought. That makes me 50 years old. He stopped, turned to a window at a shop. Seemed like a clean, unbroken window. Seemed like a clean, unbroken window was a rare thing these days. He looked at himself, an old man, a big man, half Irish, half German, half Mexican, and all tore up from years of pointless survival. That's 150% crazy, is what Chesley would say when Colby told her of his lineage. Colby looked at his hair, weathered, still red, but with streaks of gray. He looked at his body, still working, but clearly breaking down. He looked at his Hawaiian shirt, his 12-gauge pistol strapped to his hip, his bandolier of magic shells Chesley makes him. He looked at this face. At this face. During the wars, while deployed to Afghanistan, a grenade blew up too close to him. That's right, during the wars, plural, that's W-A-R-S, while deployed to Afghanistan, a grenade blew up too close to him. Too close to his face. He wasn't killed, he was simply left disfigured, with little pockmarks in his face that would never go away. He looked at his face in the reflection of that clean window. That was the face of a man who'd been in one too many fights. Fuck, Colby. You have one fight left in you. And Colby turned and ran a little and caught the streetcar. He would go to Joe's bar. He'd find some work and then get more info on Jitler. That was chapter 2 of Colby Jack. We've learned more about the future, about the world of Colby Jack. A world infested with the broken down Glumbus and the Cradmial and the Climbion and the fractured things that cling to the bottom of that disgusting layer of mucus we call life. You've learned more about Seattle as it descends into a hellhole bullshit reality of mutant octopus. Of mutant octopus and rats and cats being swallowed alive. Of robots that tase you for having a low credit score. You've learned that in the future the government goes underground. Literally. Figuratively. It just goes underground because it knows everybody hates it. But is it giving up? And we also know there are gangs that rule this country in the future. Gangs, the fucking Wranglers, the farmhands, the Crips, the Bloods, the West Side Posse, the hip-hopsters of the East Coast, the West Coast. All of the rap stars, all of the country music heroes, all of the World Wrestling Federation freaks have formed nation states of bullshit. Tiny little cauldrons of impossibilicus where they smell each other's farts and they remind each other of their pain. Thank you. tune in next time. You'll find out some new cool shit.